to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin. Well, as always, we'll be talking through some worldly events coming up in the week that we think you should know about. If you're new here, please subscribe. Do give your comments on the events we discuss. As always, we'd like to hear what you've got to say. Afshin, it's Monday, 24th of June, 2024. Can you believe we better?
It usually happens. Well, the days are consecutive. And it's Fortuna Day, the festival of Force Fortuna, ancient Greece.
Fortuna, I've not heard of that one. Is that like fish?
I think the daughter of Jupiter, I think it is. Okay. But there are way more important things to happen.
Yeah, you know,
even before we get, I've got to say, it's been a terrible weekend because we had 19 killed, as far as I can see, so far at the time of this recording in Gaza, 89 injured, 3 massacres. We've had horrific 50 children in Gaza in the past 20 hours, food poisoning after drinking expired water in Gaza, these British and American bombs pouring down, and the American attack on Russia in Sevastopol, where the Russians are saying they will respond in kind.
Well, alleged so far.
Detailing the attackums that hit Sevastopol and Crimea must have been targeted by the Americans, because only the Americans, as the Americans they themselves say, target things. So will Russia attack Florida? Is that going to happen? Is Russia going to manage the targeting of Florida? We don't know.
Yeah.
The world is at a precipice and no one seems to care.
Yeah, and it's terrible that we seem to always be having to come to you after a terrible weekend, which is not what we like to do, but we'll get into some of that stuff. Perhaps they'll be talking about it on Monday at the EU Foreign Affairs Council, where they'll be talking about Ukraine and the Middle East in Luxembourg. Joseph Borrell is chairing, of course. The Ukrainian Foreign Minister, Dmytro Kuleba, is going to be there via video conference, though no Russia representative. Because obviously neither Ukraine nor Russia are in the EU, but as we always point out, Ukraine always seems to be there in some way or another. Also, a few meetings on Monday. We've got EU member Francis Macron with Jordan's King Abdullah on Monday in Paris. Now, they have pretty good relations, don't they? They've met a few times already in the last year to speak on Gaza. Macron visited him in December, if you remember. They've been quite forceful in their uniting in calling for an end to the war in Gaza and discussing aid. Although France
is supplying the weapons to bomb.
Well, I was going to say France.
King Abdullah is helping the attack on Iran.
Yeah, well, France isn't one of the countries that stopped sending weapons to Israel, while some other countries like Spain, Canada did stop sending weapons, though it does actually deny sending weapons for the war in Gaza to Israel. So don't know what they'll be doing.
Obviously, that's absolute nonsense. Yeah. And you're seeing what? So that's at 2 p.m. Paris time. And what? At the same? No, just a couple of hours later, he's with Macron. By the way, they're legislative elections and everyone is saying he's finished, aren't they? Macron is finished in terms of the parliament. French voters lean towards Le Pen, polls show. And the elections are going on and there's going to be legislative elections when? At the end of this week.
Yeah, and debates this week as well.
So he's finished anyway, Macron.
Well, but he's also, I don't know if you were going to point out, he's going to be seeing King Abdullah, and then he's going to be also with NATO's Jens Stoltenberg for talks on Monday as well. That while Antony Blinken from the US is holding press talks with Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. And then Italy's Giorgia Meloni is with Hungary's Viktor Orban, who we've mentioned a few times on this show.
Millie, the Blinken meeting. So he's going to host. I mean, what is the Israeli defense minister or war minister, Yoav Gallant, doing in Washington, D.C. at all? This is Gallant, who has avowedly talked about genocide. And the ICC has referred, and the ICJ referred to comments by Gallant that are genocidal, according to the South African petition, and Antony Blinken's just hanging out with this man, Gallant. So
he
that
is,
means,
but I don't know if you've actually seen what Blinken is also doing on Monday. He's going to be doing this, and then he's going to be at this YouTube Global Music Partnership in Washington for some reason. Now, this is a weird one. So this is part of the Global Music Diplomacy Initiative, which was launched by Antony Blinken, by the US State Department, to, quote, elevate music with public-private partnerships with American companies or nonprofits. And they say that music in the US is to promote peace and democracy, which is, of course, what the State Department wants. But get this, YouTube's global head of music is going to be at this event with Blinken, none other than the Israeli Lior Cohen, who'll be there, who was previously sued for fraud and breach of contract back in 2002. He's an Israeli. And that's where Blinken's going to be as well. I mean, subscribe and let us know if you're going to be there, Afshin. I don't know if you're going to be there.
We're going out on YouTube, of course. We love the defense contractor, Alphabet, Google, that own YouTube. Yeah, the importance of using music to promote genocide by the United States culture, genocide, military, industrial complex has been crucial. I mean, look at Taylor Swift, who's apparently improving the economy in Britain as she tours in Britain. Notice she never says a word. Thousands, tens of thousands of fans there. She's in the country, Britain, supplying the weapons to slice the heads off babies, and she says nothing. We've never seen it like this. When in the Vietnam War, all the musicians were out there. You know, it didn't have to be Bob Dylan. It was like everyone was out there saying the United States should not be slaughtering what amounted to, what, 6 million in Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Today, musicians, except, say, Brian Eno, who co-wrote Heroes by David Bowie, a few of them talk, but the music industry, and YouTube is so important for the music industry, must be harnessed to promote war on Russia. And I should say, over the weekend, there were Biden attempts to raise a flag about the military draft, not since Vietnam, for Americans. So YouTube music, poetry, publishing, the novels. I remember all the novels written about Afghanistan in the past 20, 30 years that won prizes, all promoting war. It's all important that the arts and culture industry, even fashion, is used to promote American violence and American empire all around the world, which is why maybe some BRICS members and Global South countries will be seeing that now is a time, and it should never happen, censorship. But this is what the music is really being used for. And that's why Anthony Blinken is there at the YouTube Global Music Partnership, according to
I have to note as well, there are going to be some US musicians and artists there at this event. I don't have the list of who that's going to be. Perhaps Taylor Swift is going to be among them. I don't know, but we'll certainly keep an eye out for that.
I mean, these artists should be examined by the International Criminal Court. Are they not by default, by their absence and by omission, promoting this? Certainly, if during the Holocaust we had musicians collaborating with the Nazis, they were quite rightly blacklisted afterwards as being co-conspirators with genocide. If you're a musician and are working with one of the countries in any capacity that is supplying the weapons to decapitate children, you should be brought to book, some are going to say, aren't they?
Yeah, well, as I said before, I think many artists don't like to get involved in politics because it's, you know, it's not good for their image, and they'll say it's not
good, good for their image. Most Americans support Palestine. Most British people support Palestine. So it's good for their image. They're just told because they're controlled, and all the music we listen to by the big acts is controlled by the Pentagon, ultimately, which is why the lyrics of the songs that we listen to that are out there, the lyrics are censored, arguably.
Okay. Well, while this music event is going on, it's also the same time as the deadline for Israel to submit a report to the International Court of Justice to evidence its effort taken to uphold the court's order from last month, if you remember. I assume it's going to be a blank document, though, because those measures...
Order to stop, to halt military attacks on
The civilians of Gaza. Number two, Israel must immediately halt its military offensive and any other action in the Rafah governorate, which may inflict on the Palestinian group in Gaza conditions of life that could bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Now, that clearly hasn't happened, although Israel has claimed today that it's coming near to the end of its Rafah attack, although clearly not in time for this document.
Conflicting reports about that, of course, and a much vaunted propaganda effort to say that the war in Lebanon will imminently start, which Israel would arguably be suicidal to try and attack Lebanon right now. You know, how ironic. And as regards the response, Israel isn't going to respond clearly. These international courts are a joke. There is no rules-based order. In fact, that's why they call it rules-based order, the British and the Americans and the European Union, because they don't want to say law-based order, because they all break the law. These are corrupt countries, the United States, the European Union, Britain. They have no legal codes. They evade the law. And what they do is commit war crimes in Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, through Israel, through their proxy, Venezuela. That's what they do. So why should Israel respond, arguably? How ironic that they're raising a flag in London for Armed Forces Day. I don't know how many days that continues this week. Representatives of the Army, Navy, and RAF. Well, we saw what happened to the British Navy. I think they had to retreat one of its lonely little warships after it reversed wrongly, trying to attack Yemen for showing solidarity with the Palestinians.
Yeah, well, I think it's Armed Forces Week or Veterans Week, month even in the UK. Though I think Armed Forces Day is actually later in the week. I got down, but they're certainly commemorating the armed forces.
But the RAF clearly involved, as far as we know, with some element of targeting of Gaza from Cyprus, which is why Lebanese resistance said Cyprus is finished. I wouldn't like to go on holiday in Cyprus, the Greek side of Cyprus, this summer, if Israel dares to attack Lebanon. The British base Akrotiri in Cyprus, clearly under focus now as to whether, and I don't know how many British soldiers are there. A very dangerous posting for any British soldiers.
Well, we should just mention, though, as well as the UK commemorating armed forces, Monday until Friday is the India Global Forum in London. Weirdly, just a week before the UK general election, we better point out. Now, this is a forum for business leaders, entrepreneurs, politicians, I think UK
ministers. We moved to Tuesday, though.
No, this is Monday. Monday.
We have all week.
Monday until Friday, this is going to be going on while the UK commemorates its armed forces. This is also going on the same time, though, as the European Space Forum, which is also on Monday until Tuesday in Brussels, an annual conference discussing the challenges and opportunities facing the space sector in Europe. So space race going on there. Of course, China just came back from the moon last week, wasn't it? So as we've said before, war in space, is it? But that's weird. That's going to be going on Monday as well. So quite a lot on Monday. Have you got anything else, or are you ready to move?
No, go ahead. I'm waiting for Tuesday. Oh, well, there's a fourth debate in Iran's presidential election, but we'll be talking across the week.
Yeah, I think every day they're going to have several debates then, of course.
It doesn't make any sense, doesn't it? In the NATO propaganda imagination, they have presidential debates in Iran. In Britain, of course, key leaders like Nigel Farage, who created Brexit in Britain, George Galloway, head of the Workers' Party, which has an MP in Parliament, unlike the Reform Party led by Nigel Farage, they're not allowed in debates with this billionaire Indian man.
Although I do believe
who wasn't elected anyway, or Starmer, a suspected intelligence asset who persecuted Julian Assange. It's a bit like, and I know we're going to get to Thursday's big debate in the United States. These countries, Britain, the United States, aren't really democratic because their media systems are owned by oligarchs. They're bankrolled by oligarchs and rich people whose policies they have to follow. Starmer has to follow the policies of the Israeli government, of Netanyahu's government, because his cabinet is paid and bankrolled by Israeli lobbyists. Similarly with Sunak, bankrolled by military companies, British aerospace executives, and the like. And in the United States, similarly with Trump and Biden.
Okay. Well, they all deny the allegations, of course. Let's move to...
They're taking the cash. You can look at how much money is being taken by Sunak, Starmer, Biden, and Trump any day of the week. At least they're transparent about it, I suppose. Slightly transparent.
Okay. Well, let's move to Tuesday. US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. It's his turn to be speaking to Yoav Gallant on Tuesday after Blinken's go. He's going to be in Washington still. And that's while Philippe Lazzarini of the UN Relief and Works Agency Palestine is doing a press conference on Gaza in Geneva. He said in the last couple of weeks, there's been a total disregard for the United Nations over the war on Gaza. Is he right in that? Has the UN been?
Yeah, just take it back there, Millie, what you just said there. Roll it back a little. You're saying that after Blinken, this Zionist, self-avowed Zionist, who information other than what you see on television shows is deeply embedded with the Zionist project and therefore with the slaughter and evacuation of Palestinians in contravention of international law. After he meets with this genocide minister, Gallant, in Washington, the Raytheon director, boss of the Pentagon, involved in the transfer of the weapons to slice the heads of thousands of babies, slice the arms and legs of children, thousands of them. Is it 17,000 of them? That man, Lloyd Austin, will be with the genocide minister to what? Discuss this while you were saying Lazzarides is in Geneva. Mm-hmm. This shows to the world the real cruelty and barbarism of Washington. That's how it will be seen amongst leaders who actually were quite well disposed to Washington. Washington has lost all the trust of the world, all the goodwill it had to say after 9/11 posting these meetings. They'll try using the BBC, CNN, their mouthpieces to prevent the photo calls and smiling. But what is Gallant and Blinken and Raytheon who is it again? Lloyd Austin. What are they doing?
Although it's this is happening while Blinken, meanwhile, has moved on to the Select USA Investment Summit, where he'll be speaking in Washington. And this is a multi-day summit that started on Sunday, finishes Wednesday. It's pegged as the highest profile event in the U.S. to facilitate business investment. So it's generated over $110 billion in new investment projects, supported over 85,000 jobs since its inception. Is it as positive as it sounds? Is it going to save us all, this investment summit where
it might be? There is a strength.
Yoav Gallant the day before.
Unlike Western Europe, which is collapsing, and all these unelectable leaders except for Maloney in Western Europe, the economy of the United States is fundamentally, if it stops the wars, could be strong. It's also amazing that Tuesday, 25th of June, is the day that Ukraine case against Russia over Crimea seizure comes up at the European Court of Human Rights.
Yeah.
What is that possibly about? And I was shocked by it because obviously the people of Crimea want to be part of Russia, quite apart from the fact Russia has a red line that its only port there in Crimea is so important to it. By Tuesday, there might be all-out war anyway if Russia retaliates to the American bombing of Sevastopol over the weekend, de facto. It's in 1943, on the 25th of June, Jews in the Czestochowa ghetto in Poland staged an uprising against the Nazis. And it was those Jews that escaped were then murdered by the Banderites of Ukraine. And, of course, the symbols of those Bandera people are being supported by Blinken, by the Biden administration, by Sunak and Starmer and Macron and Maloney and the whole bunch of them. No one cares.
He is a contentious figure, admittedly. Some declare him a hero, some say he's a bad guy.
No, Stepan Bandera is a Nazi. He helped the Nazis, didn't he? He supported the mass murder of Jews, Stepan Bandera. No one can doubt that he supported the mass murder of Jews. So here you have all these people saying that the Zionists of Israel are somehow Jews. Well, how are they? They're allied to the Banderites of Ukraine. And no one will talk about the Red Army's liberation in 1945 of that camp in Poland. All this history wiped out, like the music, like the novels, as an attempt to stop populations in NATO countries understanding history.
Well, just to go back to that point, that's not wiped out the memory. You're talking about the Auschwitz, but as we've discussed in recent weeks, it's always been very widely acknowledged what Russia did with the Allies in World War II, and it's always previously been invited to the commemoration events just right now as things are difficult between NATO.
I mean, just right now when Britain is allied to the Nazis again, like it was under Chamberlain.
Okay.
Now it works. Some would say it's the true nature of these countries. Some would say it's the true nature of Western European countries that did so much, arguably, to promote the Holocaust and catalyze the Holocaust in the first place, are showing their true natures in going, you know what? We don't want Russia here because that will remind people that Russia opposed the Nazis that we incubated and catalyzed with the Treaty of Versailles and so much else. Churchill, of course, for him in the early days, he was pro-Nazi, wasn't he? Certainly okay. Fascist forces that promoted Nazism before Churchill realized things were awry.
Okay, this is all history, of course. People can look into their history. But I just want to go back to what you said about the European Court of Human Rights on Tuesday, because it's the judgment that they're giving on this case. We have mentioned it in previous weeks that there was a hearing, so that they're giving the judgment on the case brought by Ukraine against Russia over the taking of Crimea in 2014. So it's taken 10 years for this judgment to be made, and this is regarding Ukraine saying that Russia is responsible for killing Ukrainians, ill treatment, torture, many things. But what's interesting
in Crimea,
But what's interesting is Russia is no longer part of the European Court of Human Rights as of 2022, I think. So it's surely nothing to do with Russia, what the European Court of Human Rights says on it. And it can't be legally binding if Russia is not party to the court. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. And we can probably assume that they're going to condemn Russia in this judgment, I would imagine. We don't have to have a crystal ball to guess that. But it's interesting, isn't it, how that's going to be the way it is.
Exactly. This European Court of Human Rights is a load of rubbish in Strasbourg. There's no importance to it. And the fact that Ukraine, with American servicemen targeted using attack of missiles, a beach in Sevastopol over the weekend, in Crimea, ahead of a judgment by the European Court of Human Rights, which will say nothing about the fact that they killed babies, children, on the beach in the previous 72 hours. That was on Sunday, June 25th. They're going to go, oh, it's Ukraine that's the defenders of human rights against Russia. No, they attacked a beach full of civilians on Sunday with the help of the United States and probably British components and European components.
Okay. Well, I do just want to mention, though, on Tuesday, as well as this ruling, back in Luxembourg, the process will begin for Ukraine and Moldova to join the EU. Missed that. I guess Ukraine has just been a kind of honorary member up until this point, because I don't think anyone would think Ukraine's not a member, considering it's always at every meeting. There's going to be some intergovernmental conferences to formally open these talks. Now, back in 2021, Ukraine was preparing to formally apply in June 2024 back then. So it actually has been going on before the war, in fairness. The plan was for them to join in the 2030s. So I'm sure perhaps the pace has just quickened since then. But is it really going to change anything when Ukraine does join the EU and Moldova as well? Or is it just kind of a
They seem to get most of the money. Billions. It's a very distorted picture of the amount of money being given to Ukraine. Moldova, of course, Washington proxy area where Biden and NATO are trying to enlarge the war against the Russian enclave of Transnistria there. So that's important for that reason. You know, I can't help thinking the European Union is playing a dangerous game, because obviously also over the weekend there were these ISIS, Islamist attacks on an Orthodox church and a synagogue in Russia. Notice how ISIS and Al-Qaeda never do anything to help the Palestinians, but they're Muslims somehow. Of course, they're not Muslims. ISIS and Al-Qaeda have never been Muslims. Why is it they can be activated just like that? And the allegations are that MI6, closely involved with Al-Qaeda and ISIS-Daesh in Syria, so much information available about that, reactivating them. I wonder whether sometimes it goes wrong and Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Daesh, all these kind of militants used by the British intelligence and the American intelligence services goes wrong, like the Ariana Grande concert where there was an atrocity in Britain, whether Moldova, Ukraine, France, Germany, Britain are going to be attacked with the blowback that we saw, what, 10 years ago, as these groups realized that the security apparatus in Russia, where they're funded to blow up synagogues, is amiss.
Okay.
I do notice that there is the big debate, isn't it, in France. Gabriel Attal, Guardella, this hero of the right, Bompard. I think it's Jordan Bardella who's part of the Le Pen people, right? But I can't see the Mélenchon candidate because everyone's very excited about the renaissance of the left and the right to get rid of this technocratic servant of Washington government of Macron's.
Yeah, and it's quite a debate-heavy week as well. So we've got Iran, we've got France, we've got the UK is having debates this week as well, and I think interviews.
There's no point in them, though, except for Farage, I suppose. It's Anthony Bourdain's birthday, 1956. Tragically died the great neo-Marxist chef. Anyway, are we going to go to Wednesday?
We're going to go to Wednesday. I do suppose, though, on Wednesday, Sergei Lavrov, Russia's foreign minister, is going to be rushing off all the Ukraine and EU and the European Court of Human Rights, because he's going to be at the Primakov Readings Forum in Moscow, where he's going to make a speech on its second day. Now, this is a forum that's pitched as an international meeting of experts in the field of international relations and world economy. It's been running for 10 years. The main theme is Russia in the global context. I mean, what is Russia in the global context? This forum, I don't know if it's going to kind of compete with the India Global Forum in the UK. Seems like a similar thing. But what's Russia in the global context? I think a lot of people have something to say on that.
So that's Lavrov on Wednesday, June 26th. He'll have just been in Belarus because he does make a quick visit to Belarus on the Tuesday. Why is he doing that? I think it's clear Russia's alliances are now really firming up with the global south, with China, of course, the Biden administration successfully uniting China and Russia, something that the neocons of Washington since Kissinger feared more than any other alliance. It's dangerous times. At least the United States, maybe in the future, will seek to make friends again with Russia and China, because these big global powers together would be good in alliance for prosperity. Britain, France, Germany, it's too late for them. They don't really have anything. They don't have the resources. They've lost their colonies. They don't have things. And their constant fighting and sending of weapons to conflicts in the global south to murder children, women, men, civilians, not working out for them. Zelensky also maybe at the Palais de Europe in Strasbourg, tentatively scheduled to deliver an address to the Council of European Parliament on Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be there giving his own take on how Russia is viewed in the global context.
Everyone is always talking about Zelensky as a big cocaine addict with all these billions of dollars. But no proof of that, right?
Or that, though, on International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. Was that a deliberate segue?
No, it wasn't. Is there proof? Because he's always sniffing, right? Zelensky.
Well, of course, we could... not independent.
He's a criminal. Zelensky is a criminal. He's a dictator. He abolished elections. He abolished opposition parties. He's instituted martial law. They're dragging ordinary Ukrainians off the street to put them in the meat grinder to slaughter. And what? What does he get out of it? Is it corruption? Is it cocaine? Is it the houses in Miami that are rumored? We don't have the proof of that. Or is he just being threatened in some terrible way? Anyway, Russia says they will.
Richard, I'm sure he would deny. But I want to segue then onto Drug Day, which is Wednesday. And the UN Office of Drugs and Crime is releasing the World Drug Report 2024 on Wednesday.
This can't be commemorated in Britain. And the United States has promoted drugs and cocaine all around the world. The Iran-Contra scandal, COINTELPRO, use of cocaine and crack. Britain, Lord Cameron, where did he get his money? The current British Foreign Secretary? from dealing drugs to China. HSBC Bank, where did it make its profits from at the beginning? Drugs, illegal drugs can't be talked about by Western Europe and America.
What is interesting, actually, I've not seen this year's report, but last year's report, 2023, said illicit drug supply and trafficking networks at a record high. Large inequalities, of course, when it comes to access to control drugs. So effectively, poorer populations are less likely to be able to get hold of doctor prescriptions.
In the US, sending loads of these prescriptions to get everyone hooked so that they don't understand what their governments are doing to them.
In the US, yes. But if we're talking as a whole, getting medications that are actually likely to help people because of ailments, poorer can't get them, but they are more likely to be involved in drug crimes or subject to drug crimes.
Speaking of which, did you see our Russell Brand, the person who's always been skeptical of COVID vaccines, was surprised to learn? There was a story the other day. The United States were deliberately trying to spread anti-COVID vaccine propaganda to attack China. Do you see that story?
Yeah, kind of not a...
Got people taking the Chinese Sinopharm COVID vaccine. They said, oh, the COVID vaccine is really bad for you. So misinformation from the United States government about COVID vaccines.
There's a lot of talk on that kind of thing, isn't there? And we don't know. But US, of course, being one of the largest drug industries in the world, we were just there.
Which drugs are you talking about? Pharmaceuticals or medicine or illegal?
Well, pharmaceuticals, it's the biggest drug industry, but also a high for drug trafficking as well. So both in the crime arena.
I think we know how the CIA have used drugs, as they use drugs all the time.
I do actually just want to quickly go back to this report I was mentioning from 2023. It kind of goes into what you were saying earlier. It did actually say in the 2023 report that the war in Ukraine could trigger an expansion of the manufacture and trafficking of synthetic drugs because it displaced traditional cocaine and heroin drug routes, is what the report said. So yeah.
Victoria Nuland, who we mustn't forget, has gone seriously missing since the Krokus City Hall attacks in Russia. When she was involved in the coup in Ukraine, overthrowing the democratically elected government, they sponsored drugs, illegal narcotics in Ukraine, or they didn't know about it. But Ukraine was a hotbed for selling of narcotics. Is that what you're saying?
I mean... Well, it seems to at the very least say there's going to be an increase in trafficking. So whether this 2024 report is going to confirm or
Russian propaganda, where are you getting this from?
This is from the UN World Drugs Report of 2023. New one set to come out on Wednesday, but this is what they said, that it's likely to trigger an expansion of trafficking because of the difficulty in getting to traditional cocaine and heroin routes, but. Let's move on from that, because on Wednesday as well, the UN Security Council debate that's going to be in New York on children and armed conflict. So UNICEF reps here are going to be involved, and former UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon are going to be part of this debate. Now, this is a couple of weeks after the UN added Israel and Hamas to the list of offenders for violating children's rights. It's also on the same list as Russia, also on the offenders list, along with many terrorist organizations, including ISIS. So what is this debate going to be? I'm sure they're going to be talking about Israel. Are they going to be talking about the fact Israel has been put on this offenders list? I don't know. They might be mentioning Hamas. They might be mentioning Russia. But will they mention Israel at this debate?
They probably will, but I mean, you can't really have UN headquarters Security Council in New York, in the United States, which is funding the children and armed conflict slaughtering, can you? UN Security Council open debate on children and armed conflict. It's not an open debate, clearly, the UN Security Council there, because they don't allow Hamas, do they, resistance groups to talk. So it's definitely not an open debate. Who are these people discussing while they're... The slaughter continues in Gaza. I mean, it's time now for the Secretary General, I think a lot of people to say, to go to Gaza, cross over the Rafah crossing, dare Israel to kill him. Typical that actually the June the 26th is Salvador Allende's birthday, who was overthrown, and the children of Chile were mass murdered at the behest of the CIA, mm-hmm. Henry Kissinger's people, the 1973 coup in Chile. And they're talking about children in armed conflict at the UN Security Council. You can't make it up. The former Honduran president guilty of drug trafficking is sentencing. I mean...
Oh, on drug day.
Yeah. Juan Orlando Hernandez. Cocaine, millions of dollars. I mean, this is just another proxy leader in Honduras that the US tired of. That's what they do. People will presumably think they're going to do that to Zelensky when they're tired and finished of him on the off the bodies of hundreds of thousands of dead Ukrainians, a whole generation.
Yeah. We better move on to Thursday.
No, you don't care about the Murdoch journalist, Evan Gershkovich.
Oh, he's hearing. He's
working, the CIA man, Gershkovich, who Reporters Without Borders, who do nothing about journalists who support different views on different subjects, but do when it comes to a Murdoch journalist. That's what the NGOs do. Who is Evan? What's the real story?
You've not said what's actually happening on Wednesday. Are you referring to his hearing?
At the Catherine Bird hearing. I'm not for any journalist being imprisoned, but the joke that the press will give blanket coverage of this while Julian Assange is being tortured in London is absurd. And the same people would ever think of putting Gershkovich, who works for a Murdoch rag like the Wall Street Journal, which is routine for its lies compared to Julian Assange, who told so many truths, is one thing. NVIDIA, annual meeting of stockholders. That's the thing to watch on June the 26th that makes me happy. And and arguably Madagascan Independence Day. We were talking about Madagascar before, weren't we? Big celebrations there, Independence from France Day. How's it doing? We were talking about it because it had legislative elections and the ruling party only managed to win 80 seats out of the 163. Hugely controversial US intel intrigue going on in Madagascar. It's important for trade routes. People, if you're from Madagascar, write to us what you think about
it. Yeah. And we've actually got another African election upcoming later in the week, which we'll get to. Thursday, though. We better...
Thursday 27th, PTSD Awareness Day. Sorry.
Oh, is that right? PTSD Awareness Day. I don't have that down. In Armed Forces Week as well. Obviously,
how apt. PTSD Refugee is. Day should be on the same time. Yeah. All coming from Stoltenberg, NATO, the Pentagon, and the State Department.
Yeah, with PTSD Day, it's
going to be... You know why it's PTSD Day? Because it's the anniversary of the U.S. sending troops to fight in Korea against Korea, and they killed 1 in 5 of the entire population of Korea. Korea, of course, remembers that, which is why Putin was given such a huge celebration in North Korea, Pyongyang. And journalists who were admitted to that Putin celebration with Kim Jong-un say North Korea is the place to go. So, Millie, think about that as a holiday destination.
Well, meanwhile, I don't know if you'll be aware of the RIMPAC 2024 starting on Thursday, the world's largest multinational RIMPAC, the world's largest multinational maritime exercise in the world, which will take place in and around the Hawaiian Islands as a US exercise. It will be going on for over a month until the 1st of August. And this isn't a new exercise. I think it's happened every 2 years since 1971, but possibly going to hold more significance given things heating up between Russia and the US. I don't know. That's on
PTSD. I don't think Yemeni resistance can get that far. Clearly, these American warships are defenseless against, obviously defenseless against Russian hypersonic missiles and North Korean hypersonic missiles, but they're also defenseless, it seems. Defenseless against Yemen, which is hit by famine. Such is the resistance in solidarity with the Palestinians of Gaza. The US's Eisenhower had to retreat. So this maritime exercise, I mean, some people saying Hawaii shouldn't be part of the United States anyway. Famously, there was a huge controversy about the way they treated the poor of Hawaii during that. Was it an earthquake? Was it a fire? Excuse me. Clearly, Pearl Harbor, maybe they should look up to. I mean, there are so many countries that hate the United States right now. Is this maritime? Maritime. Do they mean naval exercise? Maritime just sounds like RIMPAC.
Maritime is what they use. But I don't know if Putin's going to be aware of this, because in Russia, he's going to be with his Belarusian counterpart, Alexander Lukashenko, at the annual forum of the regions of Russia and Belarus. So, and that's going to be going on until Friday. So he's going to be there while the European Council Leaders Summit is in Brussels. They're going to be talking about Ukraine.
That's all the leaders with Joseph Borrell, but Joseph Borrell is out. Finally, the guy who said everywhere else in the world is a jungle, but Europe is a garden, the racist, neo-fascist Joseph Borrell, a disgusting man as seen by the Global South for what he said. And the imperialism of saying the rest of the world is a jungle compared to the garden of Western Europe, the birthplace of the Holocaust, of wars around the world. Yeah, he's gone.
Well, this is
Estonia. Estonia, Kaja Kallas, who's equally a bit of a nutter, isn't she?
Well, what's interesting about Borrell is if we go to Gaza, he's been quite supportive of that, right, and ending the war, but... This Estonia woman, she's a big critic of Russia, as you say, possibly even more so than Borrell, but she's also decidedly more pro-Israel. So I think that's really going to turn the tide in the EU Parliament.
Kaja Kallas says Russia needs to be defeated. I don't know how Estonia is going to do that. Russia has no interest in invading Estonia, but I wonder, maybe just a joke, do it. You know what I mean? Comments like that the Russian people need to be defeated is tantamount to incitement, I think. And as you say, she's supporting genocide in West Asia. Not good news for the EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs. But again, we expect Ursula von der Leyen to keep her position.
She's the one. Metzler, European Parliament President, is well expected to stay.
Because they've been really successful in Europe in terms of keeping peace and harmony and sponsoring negotiations, peace negotiations. This is a war, brutal, crude war propagandist promoters who support genocide. That is what European Union is. And thank God my country, Britain, left that disgusting, appalling, genocidal institution. You know, do you think at this leaders' summit they'll be talking about the fact it's the anniversary of a McDonnell Douglas DC-9 passenger jet from Bologna to Palermo in 1980 being shot down by France? This is what France and Italy, they'll be fine at the European Parliament, at the leaders' summit, European Council on Thursday. Do they know that all these governments in Europe were just fake vassals, Marshall Plan US funded after the Second World War, paying back all their money? These so-called left-wing terror groups were funded by American money to discredit the left. The biggest communist parties in Europe destroyed by propaganda, by fake agent provocateur actions. That's what's really happening. You know, the former Italian prime minister said it was an attempt to part of a plan to shoot down the aeroplane of Gaddafi. France, Italy nearly came to war in 1980. People don't remember this. Anyway, I know you want to get...
They would say they were doing a good thing, a heroic thing.
You want to get to kill Gaddafi, the leader of Africa's richest per capita country, free healthcare and free education in Libya, destroyed, of course, by Cameron, David Cameron and Obama, Libya, of course.
Lord Cameron to you, don't forget.
I know you want to get to the big news, though.
Is that what you're referring to?
Are you going to stay up for it? What is this debate?
This is Joe Biden and Donald Trump, of course, finally going head-to-head on CNN on Thursday in Georgia. Going to be lively, I'm sure.
CNN, this rubbish network, Donna Bash and Jake Tapper. These are discredited Zionist journalists who back genocide. who should be locked up for promoting genocide, they will be invigilating the debate.
Yeah, although I want to add, quite interestingly, Trump is already pitched to get the last word, the last statement out, which was determined by a coin toss on who would get the last say. The closing
argument. Well, I thought it was because Biden got to be on the right or on the left or whichever scene is.
Yeah, well, that was it. So they flip over the podium. I think Biden got to choose which podium he wanted to be on, the presidential one or the other one. I don't know which one he chose. And then Trump got to choose to get the closing argument. Which I'm sure he'll be pleased with, because of course he was complaining in his trial the other week where he got convicted that his lawyers didn't get a chance to deliver their closing argument last. So
of course, the Biden administration are trying to imprison the most popular candidate at this free election. I've been to their CNN headquarters in Atlanta when my brother was an anchor there. I think it's because Biden wants to be near the toilet. That's what it's about.
Right.
Well, to do. If you're nearer the toilet, then the other person gets the last thing. I think, I don't know, how worried are you about a guy who has his finger on the nuclear button ahead of this election? I think the more important thing about this Atlanta debate is the Republicans got $141 million paid for by big oligarchs, Biden $192 million. $69 million given to Trump by PAC MAGA. Timothy Mellon, Carnegie Mellon, big banking fortune, gave his money to Trump's campaign. He also gave it to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mellon, this big financier of Trump, said black people had become even more belligerent with civil rights. And he also denounced social safety nets in the United States as slavery redux. Shouldn't give Medicare and things like that. And he gave $53 million to finance private construction of a border wall. So he's financing Trump, whereas, Schlitz Brewing, beer also being given, anti-union, anti-tax, that's going to Trump money, tax gay rights, of course. And as for, Kelsey Warren. I'm just saying, because it's the debate on Thursday where the money is coming from, because you'll just hear them both talking. You're not hearing that Trump and Biden just channel what the money is being funded to them of what to say. So Kelsey Warren, chairman of Energy Transfer Partners, builder of the Dakota Access Pipeline, which polluted so much soil, gave money to Trump. Those three oligarchs account for $65 million. It's $69 million taken by Trump's super PAC. And as for Biden, he's getting his money from Michael Bloomberg, who fakes financial information, allegedly, ranked 13th richest person. Bloomberg gave the maximum amount to the Biden Victory Fund. Of course, Bloomberg, a supporter of genocide in Gaza. And he also oversaw the Stop and Frisk program, carrying out CIA surveillance against Muslim communities. That's Bloomberg. And he's chaired the Defense Innovation Board, an independent advisory panel attached to the Pentagon, involved, of course, as we said, from Monday this week on genocide there. And am I boring you yet? This is where the money is coming from.
No, well, I think what our viewers can do, Afshin, subscribe, of course, is they can take your list of funders and then compare that to what Biden and Trump are saying in this debate and see if it adds up that, as you say, they're kind of echoing whatever their funders are likely to want them to say. So that's something that we can take from that.
Yes, if you want things to happen in your country and you live in the United States, earn lots of money and pay off.
Pay for it.
Give the payola to the politicians you like and you'll get what you want. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, we know obviously money and power is nothing new nor exclusive to the United States. This happens in many countries around the world and as old as time when it comes to politics, unfortunately.
Old as time. Things get better, you know. But you're right. Keir Starmer, money from child killers in Gaza. Same with Sunak.
Okay. Well, watch the debate. Let us know what you think of the debate and who's going to come out on top. We don't know, of course. Maybe they'll be as bad as each other. We don't know.
Why is he having the debate? Biden has agreed to this. He didn't need to agree to this. People are really worried in his campaign whether he's going to do it. On the same day, US GDP quarter one estimates come out. He must think it's going to show the economy doing well in the United States ahead of the debate so he can shout at Trump about it, maybe.
Well, we will see, won't we? I'm sure I'll be staying up to watch it. Afshin, I assume you will as well. So
very late for the Middle East. Middle East countries is very difficult to watch. But the Global South will be also be monitoring at 3 o'clock Washington time, the U.S. Article 4 consultation of the International Monetary Fund. This is Kristalina Georgieva, who wields an iron fist over the babies, the poor, the women, the children, the mothers, the all around the world, because the International Monetary Fund has historically been a brutal dictatorship that has run governments all across the Global South that claim to be democratic, and our media in NATO countries claim to be democratic. Article 4 consultations of the IMF's attempts to assess each country's economic health and to forestall future financial problems. You know what the IMF
means. I saw something as well. There was a U.S. Federal Reserve stress test. I don't know what day that was. Was that part of the same thing you're saying there?
No. That's
stress test.
Obviously, the U.S. debt. I think there was a report even in the corrupt media in the United States. I think it was in New York Times is just talking about little sympathy from Israelis for the dead children. What a lovely newspaper this is. Even in the normal press, the NATO propaganda press, they were saying stress tests are going to be really difficult because the amount of billions funneled to Zelensky, even though it's supposed to be recycled through arms companies, war companies in the United States, is taking its toll on the U.S. debt, let alone the money poured into Israel. It pays off all the Israeli Zionists to kill children of that. No, this is about the fact that they're going to try and threaten Global South countries. I don't think they can threaten them as normally they can threaten them. And Thursday, June 27th, Chinese Ministry of Defense monthly briefing will show why they can't, because China's not having any of it, despite the Philippines, the U.S. proxy state with the U.S. base on it. Marcos saying, we won't be intimidated by China, because a lot of the people talking about these skirmishes in the South China Sea with the Philippines. I wouldn't mess with China, would you?
Okay. I wouldn't mess with anyone. Wouldn't dare get involved in all of that. We better move to Friday.
Oh, so you don't care about Freedom of the Press Day in Maryland?
Freedom of the Press Day on Friday.
Maryland and the East Coast of the United States, no one cares because there is no free press there in the United
Freedom
States.
Freedom of the Press Day that's on Friday that I'm about to get to, that one.
I've got it for Thursday.
I've got it for Friday.
Yeah, but you don't have the Bordeaux Wine Festival. For all your attacks on Macron and his predecessor, corrupt Sarkozy, and all those people, the Bordeaux Wine Festival, I wish I could go. Yeah, you can actually read about it on Rumble. No, you can't, because, of course, France doesn't have a free press, free electorate, free anything ahead of legislative elections, because it bans Rumble and all sorts of information from the French public.
We were going to say that what Freedom of the Press Day is for, it's meant to honour the victims of the
Friday. We moved to Friday, June the 28th.
Yeah, but this is Friday because it honours the victims of June 28th, 2018. So it's an anniversary of the shooting at the Capital Gazette, where five people were killed in a newsroom when a gunman opened fire. So that's what it's in commemoration of. But that
The state of Maryland, which is highly associated with the defense military industrial complex, I think their Freedom of the Press Day should be better. I don't know, the day Julian Assange was nabbed from the Ecuadorian embassy for political asylum after the CIA offered bases to the coup government in Ecuador. And Julian Assange revealed so much about the citizens of Maryland and the wars they went off to fight, illegal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Maybe something like that. I don't know.
And this Freedom of the Press Day comes on Election Day in some other countries. Election Day in Iran.
In Iran, energy superpower.
Yeah.
Who are you backing in Iran?
Well, as we said the other week, there doesn't seem to be much difference between...
Well, there's massive... Pezeskia is saying we want to cozy up to the West and to Washington. What is going on?
That's more revolutionary. But as we also said the other week, we know the presidency in Iran, as with many countries, is more of a symbolic role than policymakers.
No, it definitely isn't. Okay. Obviously, the parliament has a huge role. Parliament has a huge role, but having interviewed former presidents, clearly there is a tension. It's not like with Britain, where if you have an opposition candidate like Jeremy Corbyn, or the United States, a candidate like Bernie Sanders. And again, the United States, Bernie Sanders was a candidate. As we know from WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton's machine tried to destroy, smear him, and annihilate any chance of the United States voter for voting for him to be president. In Britain, Jeremy Corbyn, hugely popular, did the best of any, the swing of any Labour Party since 1930, more than Attlee, I think. They destroyed him, they annihilated him, stopped him from being able to be prime minister, leader of Britain. In Iran, there's a kind of, there are these committees to vet them and all of that. But once they're going, it's the best shot. And then, of course, there are checks and balances of a huge amount. But I mean, in the United States, they try and imprison the main popular leader, don't they? Trump is, the Biden administration, they're trying to imprison Trump. Okay. And if you watch the media in the United States, MSNBC and CNN, they're trying to get Trump in jail. No such system in Iran.
Okay. CNN, although hosting him for this debate. Who do you want to win in Iran then? Who are you?
I don't think it's a good time, is it, for candidates saying cozy up to the West and we want rapprochement, which they're saying will appeal to the young. Remember, Iran is a very young, demographically young country. People mm-hmm. party a lot in Iran. I've lived there a year. I'm telling you, you know, you could be a Soho to London, Soho in New York. You know, Miami South Beach to Tehran, you've got no hope. People love to party in Iran. And that young population,
the president isn't really something on their radar.
No, but they think that a young population in Iran is going to go with some candidate that favors or moves to try a rapprochement with the United States at a time when the United States is arming genocide against Muslims. You know, the Jews of Iran, they don't even know in NATO countries there's a Jewish community in Tehran. Let alone the young people, let alone the old in Iran, will say our solidarity is with our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Lebanon, in the Middle East, in Sudan, all around the Arab world, even though Iran is not an Arab country, but our Muslim brothers and sisters in Indonesia, all around the world, against Satan, which is the United States, because they can see it on TikTok every day, what the United States, Britain, and the European Union. Do you see this? TikTok's biggest advertisers consider kill clauses as threat of US ban looms. That's going to happen this week, probably.
Okay. Well, it does remain to be seen.
Anyone you didn't say who you wanted.
Who runs? You didn't say who you wanted.
I said I didn't want someone that's going to make a rapprochement with Satan, as it's
my sense is I don't believe it's going to make a great deal of difference. But
what do you mean?
It
it's going to make more of a difference than Blinken or... No. No. Sorry, Lincoln. I meant Trump.
Are no you one turning into Biden in yourself? Are you okay?
No one believes he's in charge, do they?
Okay. Well, it remains to be seen. But I don't know if you're going to be paying attention to, on Friday, the Mongolia legislative election as well. Country that sits squidged between China and Russia. Not one that's talked about very much, but they're going to be electing 76 members to their state. Great Khural is their legislative body. Two main parties are the Mongolians People's Party, which is the ruling party, and the Democratic Party. That's quite a peaceful country overall. Not a great deal of controversy in general, although there has been a bit. I don't know if you saw in this election, a member of the Democratic Party, so the opposition party, was killed a couple of weeks ago amid the election campaign. The chairman of the Democratic Party's Committee of Sansom, he was beaten to death, allegedly, by a campaigner for another party, according to the police. His party has identified him as Bibi. That's Mongolia election.
90% energy dependent. 90% energy dependent from Russia. And so therefore didn't want to vote with the corrupt countries of the EU, Britain and the United States against Vladimir Putin's eventual going in to save the people of Donetsk and Luhansk and so on in Ukraine. And but among the four Mongolian presidents who studied abroad, two are trained in today's Russia and the other two are educated in Western Ukraine. Zelensky spent 3 years of his childhood in Mongolia. Mm-hmm. I don't think when he's thrown out and if he survives, is not murdered by the Ukrainian people for de facto killing so many Ukrainians. I don't think Mongolia is a good retirement prospect, even though he spent his childhood there. Zelensky's father was an important figure in developing Mongolia's copper mine. Do you know that?
Mm, that's very interesting. Mongolia, though, typically a close ally with Russia and China, right? So perhaps this election then is...
And Ukraine was part of Russia, wasn't it? So Ukrainian culture very close to Mongolia. There's always been close interaction. Mm. But it being the anniversary on the 28th of Archduke Ferdinand of Austria and his wife assassinated in Sarajevo, by Friday the 28th, we might be at world war because there might be another Zelensky attack on Russia using American weaponry or Britain. Who knows what's going to happen? And how ironic the anniversary of the shooting gun, literally, on World War One was this week coming up.
Well, we have to hope not. Can we move on to Saturday?
Yeah, Biden is in the Hamptons having a great old time in the Hamptons, and Trump will be in Virginia home of the CIA. Hope Trump's safe.
And it is this Saturday that is Armed Forces Day in the UK, finally and officially.
29th.
29th. That was the first, that was brought about by Gordon Brown at the time, Chancellor of the Exchequer, formerly Prime Minister of the UK. This was back in 2006.
Gordon Brown, a British politician who funded the illegal invasion of Iraq.
Oh, is that him now?
Yeah, that is actually. Yeah,
is what Bernie
funded a war that killed a million people for Tony Blair. He shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, well, he Veterans Day was an important one to him as he initiated it on Saturday as well. The presidential election in Africa's is it Mauritania.
Oh, dear.
They're having their presidential election on Saturday. A poor country. Obviously, a lot of natural resources, though. Petroleum, oil, iron, but still poor. Poor market infrastructure. I think high poverty, high unemployment rates, high levels of malnutrition.
IMF. They're just slaves of the IMF. They have been, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I thought you would say something like that. It's quite sparsely populated as well, I think, which exacerbates their food insecurity. So very poor.
It's nothing to do with that. It was exploited by colonial imperialism to make them poor. The IMF uses it with the World Bank in grants to keep them poor. They're not going to be poor soon.
Well, it's noteworthy that they've been under effective military rule since it gained independence from, was it France in 1960? When they gained independence from France. I think many voters now want to return to civilian rule in this election, and this may be the election that allows that. Currently, the president is Mohamed Ould Ghazani. He's a former army general, so he's their military leader. Although his 2019 election, he won 52% of the vote, which was the first election where they had a peaceful transfer of power. They're the most peaceful since
way more than any British, way more than Sir Keir Starmer, the Assange persecutor, is going to get at the British elections if you take it through the vote. 52%.
52%. That was back in 2019. But as I say, this may well turn the tide. It may go from military to civilian rule in this election. We don't know, but
close ties with China. I mean, the important thing about it, Xi Jinping was there a while back, met with Ghazani. There's going to be huge deals with Saudi Arabia, with China. China signed cooperation agreements, agriculture, fisheries. And noticingly, though, Mauritania's defense minister is a bit out of sync with things, because he went to Mali to make a dispute about Mali and the Russian Wagner group there helping the resistance against the IMF in Mali. Mauritania needs to be very careful, doesn't it? Because it's going to, if it continues to act like imperialist little colonial people, it's going to not do well for its people, clearly. It's going to have to try and see whether it can be accommodated into the new Sahel pact against the International Monetary Fund, I think. Is the big thing for them?
Well, we will see. That's on Saturday. I think we'd better just quickly finish on Sunday. If anyone's actually still watching,
I'm just saying the Armed Forces Day is crazy in Britain. There'll be family of servicemen and women and so on. Mm-hmm. How many of these soldiers participated in illegal occupations in Afghanistan and in Iraq? How many of them helped the targeting against Russia through Ukraine? How many? I think Armed Forces Day, especially as Sunak flaunts his conscription idea, it's a bad day for soldiers. But of course, once you are a soldier and you try, you rely on them for funding, for your housing more often than not, for student loans, all sorts of things. The bribery that makes ordinary working class people join up and engage in illegal wars all around the world and kill innumerable, incomprehensible numbers of civilians. It's 10 years since CIA cut out ISIS-Daesh, declared the creation of an Islamic caliphate in Iraq, Syria, and Syria. We'll see ISIS again, even though that's Saturday, June the 29th, because the CIA, MI6 are going to reactivate them as they sense the loss of hegemonic power, arguably. And it's UEFA Euro, beginning of the knockout round. We haven't mentioned it once. Stupid football competition. You don't like it.
You've been watching the football then?
Not as much as I. This is pointless, really, isn't it?
It is.
Because Ronaldo, very pro-Palestinian footballer, 40, approaching the age of 40, older than me, but, you know, wish I was that fit.
Yeah, the results are the important thing anyway, so you don't really need to sit through 2 hours of it.
Well, no, because the results are not real, are they? Because Russia was kicked out of Euro 2024. So whoever wins the Euros this year is not really the winner, because they knocked out one of the contending teams.
Well, I'm very surprised.
Euro 2024 is just a lie.
I'm surprised that you've not boycotted it completely. I'm sure your audience would be quite surprised that you've
not boycotted. I think you need to observe the way that European football is a sham. And they're obviously too frightened to play real football with Russians. I mean, that's the only conclusion one can make. It's highly politicized. No Palestinian flags, but don't let Russia compete. Put Ukraine in there, because we don't want Russia in there, because they'll beat... Who's going to win this year? Spain, Portugal, Belgium, Italy, France, one of those usual teams.
Okay.
Try it on with Russia, some people are going to ask. Why did you have to ban them?
Okay, that's your reason for watching. That is Saturday. Sunday, though, obviously we mentioned Armed Forces Day in the UK on Saturday, and that's the day after... Iraq's National Sovereignty Day, to mark the handover of security duties from the US troops to Iraqi forces in 2009. Of course, the US troops didn't officially withdraw from Iraq until, 2011? They didn't. They started in 2009 trying to leave. Took 2 years later. It's a Sovereignty Day in Iraq on Sunday.
Not much sovereignty. What are all these American soldiers wandering about in Iraq? And didn't Britain and the United States bomb Iraq the other day? Israel did as well. The Iraq war is not over, and it's about time, some might say, for the Iraqis and the popular mobilization units to really show their solidarity with what's happening to the people in Gaza. There was certainly solidarity shown by Palestine against Britain and the United States for their genocide. No, that's not a genocide. They just wanted to wipe out Iraq for the strategic interest. They didn't want to kill all Muslims. It's not like Israel, they want to kill all the Palestinians. Iraqi National Sovereignty Day doesn't mean a thing until the Iraqis make much better with their regional allies, arguably. The EU mission in Niger, the mandate expires on Sunday, the June the 30th. They're finished, aren't they? These colonies, the France and Western Europe in Niger and the Sahel. As we were talking about on Saturday's Mauritania elections, Niger is where the uranium comes for the nuclear bombs. Niger is friends with Russia and friends with China. Where is the United States and Britain going to get their uranium for their nuclear bombs? Only one country's used nuclear bombs, of course, the United States, against civilians. The EU will never get their mandate renewed. The mandate was established in December 2022 to train the Niger armed forces. That went well, didn't it? They're finished. So good that it's DRC Independence Day in Congo, independence from Belgium on June the 30th too. A big day for Africa and hopefully generations that will remember the imperial slaughter. The imperial slaughter in Congo by Belgium was on another scale under King Leopold. But that slaughter has gone on and on as the IMF has been used to impoverish these people. I think maybe Russia may talk about that, because, of course, what is Sunday but the eve of Russia taking the presidency of the UN Security Council?
Oh, is that right? So that's happening next Monday.
That's right.
Okay.
So Russia will be president of the United Nations Security Council. Russia, which can't even get some of its employees to the UN because the US looks after the visas, in contravention of how the United Nations was set up after World War II, is harassing Russian diplomats and individuals. Maybe Russia can do something at the UN Security Council about that. Maybe it can say, we need the UN to move from the United States, which is sponsoring genocide. You can't have the United Nations in a country like the United States, can you?
What does that mean, though? Do you think the other UN Security Council members are going to boycott the UN Security Council if Russia takes the
presidency? They are very silly. You've seen that British ambassador, Linda Thomas-Green, the one who vetoed a ceasefire in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she proudly said, oh, no, we don't want a ceasefire in Gaza while the children were being slaughtered in Gaza. I don't know how the Chinese and Russian diplomats can sit there in the same room with people like the British ambassador to the United Nations, the French ambassador to the United Nations, and the American. But I suppose they have to, because talk is the way forward. Negotiation is the way forward. Putin's offered negotiations on Ukraine. Hamas agreed to negotiations on the captives they took in return for the thousands, including children, that Israel had taken. Negotiations are the way forward, but they're being banned and vetoed by Britain, the United States, and Western Europe.
Also on Sunday, just to add, the US Supreme Court term is ending. And so that means it has to release all of its opinions that are still pending on cases and judgments before and including on this date. So I think, for example, they need to... I think an Assange case with them is still pending, and I believe still a decision on whether Trump is going to trial on some of his cases. That's still not been decided, but it will be decided
by... So that could be quite important.
That will be... That will be decided by Sunday. I think only in very rare cases have they extended this date, but they probably won't. So Sunday will be the date. It's also World Social Media Day on Sunday, celebrating revolution.
On that day?
Yeah, just on that day.
I might tweet something out.
Of course, a lot of people now are talking about social media detoxes and things like that. So it's kind of looked upon quite negatively nowadays.
Social media is the only way you can get information about Britain and the United States' involvement in genocide, because it's banned on the state propaganda mouthpieces like the BBC in Britain, or on CNN and Voice of America and so on. Social media is so valuable. Without it, we really wouldn't know what was going on.
Also,
are you talking about Sunday, June the 30th, yeah? Right.
Sunday, June 30th. Also valuable for Silicon Valley, though, World Social Media Day. Of course, the social media market is massive. It's grown to $251 billion this year compared to $219 last year. So very lucrative business if you want to make a bit of money. So they'll be celebrating Social Media Day, I'm sure, the Elon Musks of the world, whose birthday it actually was earlier in the week as well, that we didn't mention.
We love him because he's allowing free speech again on X, but then there are these reports that he's banning those that support the Palestinians. Why is he doing that? That's not freedom of the press. A lot better than anywhere else. Well, this TikTok thing is the scary thing, isn't it? I mean, are they just going to ban TikTok? Yeah, the 30th of June is a strange day, as you're intimating there. Because why is it Armed Forces Day in Guatemala, the government overthrown, of course, famously by the CIA in the United States, the Arbenz government? Asteroid Day.
Yeah.
That's a big day. General Prayer Day in the Central African Republic, CAR, a hotbed of the fight between the American proxy states and the CAR people. Independence Day, as I said, of DRC from Belgium. Navy Day in Israel on the 30th of June, let alone Philippine Spanish Friendship Day, which shouldn't be, and Revolution Day in Sudan. Sudan under the spotlight because the United States and Britain and European powers really trying to... their last gasp fake genocide claims in Darfur again starting again, fake news about Sudan emerging on the mainstream news in NATO countries in the last gasp attempt to get back control of Sudan, this hugely mineral resource rich country in Africa that has been destroyed by Britain, the United States, and Western European countries over successive generations. Let's hope Sudan's Revolution Day will be a safe one. But Israel Navy Day, what do you think of that?
And this is Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday the 30th, Israel Navy Day.
I mean, what are they going to be doing on this day?
I think Yemen. I think I know what Yemen will be doing on Israel Navy Day. I think I know what Lebanon will be doing on Israel Navy Day. I think everyone, you can subscribe, but write in. What do you think Yemen and Lebanon will do to celebrate Israel Navy Day after 135,000, mostly women and children, have been slaughtered by American and British weapons?
And what you think Israel is going to be doing on Israel Navy Day? And all of the stories that we've
mentioned. Israel is petrified, clearly. They've lost the war in the north. They've lost the war against Hamas. And they've lost all support around the world for their Zionist Jewish supremacist project.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we better leave it there. thank you if you've got to the end and you're still here. Please subscribe if you're not already. And thank you for watching. Thank you for giving us all of your comments. We appreciate the support. If you haven't commented, feel free to down below. We love to hear what you've got to say. You can watch us on YouTube, Rumble, X, Spotify, all the major podcasting platforms.
TikTok.
As I said before, everywhere. Comment and subscribe. As I said, like it as well. Spread the word if you can. And we will be back next week, as always.
Subscribe. See you next week.